saints change history. Saints change the world. Saints change the church. Everything is at stake. We see where the world is going. We see the takeover of liberalism. We see the church falling apart. We see our government going in who knows what direction. And all of you are worried. We're worried. We're now in a recession. What are we going to do? How are we going to face the world that's coming to us? We cannot do it as ordinary Catholics. We cannot do it as ordinary people. It's not enough. Too much evil is out there, and too little good is out there fighting it. But when we see the history of the church, we see the way in which saints changed everything, and not very many, one or two or three or four. I even remember a conversation that Satan had with St. John Vianney where he said, four more. And what did he mean? He meant four more priests like you and my kingdom would fall. So it doesn't take very many saints to change the world, just a few. And that's what we must become. So what does it take to become a saint? Well, this amazing interaction between Martha and Mary shows us everything. It shows us the secret about the very thing that you need to become a saint. And this scene is commonly misinterpreted. In fact, today I'm recording this on the Feast of St. Martha, July 29th, and typically when we read the readings and we hear the homily, what is the typical theme? It's something like, okay, those that choose a life of prayer are better than those that choose a life of busyness. So all the busy husbands and the busy housewives and wives go home depressed, thinking I should have been a nun, I should pray more, I should stop cleaning the house so much and spend more time at the feet of Jesus praying. When in fact, that's not the message at all. In fact, I have been thinking about this particular scene for many, many years. St. Martha is one of my favorite saints. For 15 or plus years, I've been thinking about this scene. I've been coming to that same conclusion as you would typically hear, and try to think there has got to be something more to this. And the other day at Mass, it's like God just lit up in my mind the true meaning of that scene. And I want to share that to you because that will give you the key to becoming a saint. And when you become a saint, this role will change. But before we get to that answer, a word from today's sponsor. The Blessed Virgin Mary. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the gate of heaven, the Tower of David, Tower of Ivory. She is the holiest, most beautiful woman on earth. And the way to have greater access to her is to consecrate yourself completely to her and her Immaculate Heart. Because when you do that, you unite your soul with hers, your heart with hers, your prayers with hers. And when two things unite, they make a new thing called holiness. They make the path of Jesus so much easier. And with the code UNIQUELYMARY, you will get 20% more love from the Blessed Mother, 15% more graces. Go to this website below and put that code UNIQUELYMARY, 20% more love from her, 15% more graces. Thank you, Blessed Mother, for sponsoring today's video. And now on with our answer. So you know the scene between Martha and Mary and Jesus very well. Mary is sitting at the foot of Jesus. Martha is doing so many things. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. Mary has chosen the better part. How can we understand this? Well, in scripture, we can often use other scenes as a window into other scenes. So we can use something that happens in a different place in the scriptures to understand what we're reading at the moment. So we need to fast forward to the Gospel of John towards the end. Jesus has one of the longest conversations that is recorded. The other longest one is held with the woman at the well. Kind of interesting that the two longest conversations that Jesus has that are recorded are with women. One with this woman who's had many husbands, and the other was St. Martha. And if you read that dialogue, somewhere maybe in chapter 10 of the Gospel of John, I don't remember exactly, but if you really pay attention, what seems to be happening is a lot of misunderstanding. Jesus asks a question, Martha gives an answer. He doesn't seem satisfied, he asks a different question. She doesn't really answer. And it's this weird back and forth, like they're not really connecting and clicking. And so you have to ask, like, is it the language? Was Aramaic this circular language where you can't really give a direct answer and you can't just figure it out? What's going on? Why don't they understand each other? But when you look closer, you see the quality that St. Martha did not yet have shine through in her answers. And Jesus is critiquing it and calling her to something higher. And let me get into detail right now about what that specifically is. So It's when Jesus starts asking, do you believe that your brother will rise? And Martha says, yes, I believe that he will rise at the end of time. So she kind of answers this in this sort of other thing, this kind of catechism answer. I believe that he will rise, but at the end of time. And Jesus is asking, do you believe that he will rise right now? And she's essentially saying, "That what are you talking about? That's insanity." And how does Jesus respond? He says, I am the resurrection. What is he trying to say? Martha is saying, look, Jesus, you're holy. Maybe you're even divine and you can do amazing things, but you can't raise my brother from the dead. That's impossible. And Jesus is saying, I am God. I am the author of resurrection. I can do whatever I want. I created the universe. I can snap my fingers and make anything happen. Don't you realize that? I am all powerful. And she doesn't realize that. Even when he says that, it's like she still doesn't get it. And he almost becomes frustrated that she has such a shallow faith. Now, we have a faith like that. We say that we believe in Jesus. We give the catechism answers. But when difficult situations present themselves, we don't really believe that he can do everything. That's the difference between Martha and Mary. Mary has what's called an absolute faith in Jesus. That's the trait that you need to begin to become a saint. And if you don't have that, you will never even enter the process. So how does it shine forth back in that scene where they're at dinner? Mary realized that if Jesus was the author of the universe, could snap his fingers and make bread and fish for 5,000 people, could walk on water and do all these things, what's the point in cooking for him? He could snap and make dinner happen immediately. What she needs to do is listen, and her doing anything is pointless because he can do anything. Martha didn't believe that. She loved Jesus, but she thought, I have to do my stuff and Jesus might show up. And that's how we are. We say that we believe that Jesus can do a miracle, but then we do all the work and then hope that he shows up, and he doesn't show up because that absolute faith simply isn't there. My friends, how do we get absolute faith? That's a topic for the next video. But if you don't have that absolute faith, where you can leave everything behind because you realize that God himself in Jesus Christ is right there, and you leave everything and you don't care about anything because he can do anything. If you don't have that absolute faith, you will never become a saint. We will never change the world, and it will go to hell in a handbasket much sooner than you realize. My friends, thank you for joining me in today's video. Perhaps in a future one, I will explain to you how to get that absolute faith. I will see you in the next one. Hi friends, this is Alvaro with the channel Uniquely Mary, and I'm placing this video at the end of some of these recent videos because you're most likely someone that loves this channel since you watched to the end. So I am asking you to support this channel in a special way. Recently, I was in the hospital for a week, and we are having medical bills upwards of between $5,000 and $10,000. We're still figuring out how much that's going to cost, so it's not your responsibility to pay my bills, but I'm simply asking for some support. I am starting a GoFundMe, and you can support me in all the regular ways, clicking on the video, clicking on some of the ads, or you can also buy me a coffee. That's another way where you can support me in $5 increments. Please be generous, and if you can, at least offer some prayers. Thank you so much. God bless you. See you in the next one.